Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks.
All right, I got some great messages that came in here on our Montana Talks app, especially since it's Freedom Friday. Happy Freedom Friday here. George Blackard in the house. Great to see you, George.
Hey, it's great to be here, Aaron.
Yeah.
You know, glad you're back.
You got a cool t-shirt on and everything.
Oh, that. Yeah, that's true.
You've been working out. You got some swole biceps and everything.
Smaller t-shirt.
There you go. You just got to taper it in a little bit.
That's right. Yeah. No, I got that from Ruthless Barbershop.
Oh, very cool.
So, yeah, the girls up there, they do a great job. It's in the Heights. It's up there where Nine Round used to be.
Oh, okay.
In the Heights. What is that?
Wicks. Wicks. I go down. My cousin Addie is at the Rebels and Razors. They're a wild crew down there.
There you go.
It's funny because like everybody knows Addie down there, and they're like, "Wait, you guys are related?" Yeah, we're like third cousins, second cousins. You know, everybody's related in Glasgow, Montana, somehow or another, right? So I already kind of told you what my rant is today. So I get my ballot in the mail yesterday.
Yes.
For the school election. And it's like, okay, cool.
The thing they're calling the school safety
levy. See, because they don't want to pay for school safety, so they got to charge you extra. If you want your kids to be safe, you got to pay extra for that, George. We're not going to cover that. That doesn't include it in all those other taxes.
So misleading about what it really is, though. Yeah.
We're not going to keep your kids safe unless you give us more money. Hostage negotiation is this, for Pete's sake? You had all this COVID money. That you gave to China with all those stupid masks. But no, if you want to be safe, give us more money.
That's right.
For your kids to be safe.
Well, they got to hire more resource officers to issue tickets in the parking lot and on the street in front of the school, you know.
we obviously need more security. But again, why is this always the afterthought? Why is that never first and foremost in the budget? And then maybe we'll get to all the other stuff, right?
Right. Well, you know, the thing about that, Aaron, is if you read through what they want to do with that money, you know, they're focusing on keeping kids out of gangs. That's one of the things. You know, they're going to hire more people to teach kids about the dangers of being in gangs and things like that. And it's really pretty ridiculous when I read through it, what all they want to do with that money. And it has nothing to do with teaching your kids anything.
In fact, you want to teach your kids not to be involved in gangs? Invest more in sports and get more kids involved in sports and other extracurricular activities, and that coach will set them straight pretty quick, right?
But a case could be made for that, except that, you know, nowadays, if coach raises his voice at somebody, they get hurt and the parents get mad, and I mean, for crying out loud.
But my actual rant was, okay, you get the school election ballot in the mail yesterday or today. And then 3 weeks from today, they mail out the normal primary election ballots. Why don't they just do the elections at the exact same time and mail them out at once instead of two separate mailers wasting all this money? It's stupid.
I got an answer for that. That's because if you get a ballot loaded with stuff, people are more apt to be angry and not vote the way you want them to. So you send it out early so you only have one thing on your ballot.
Well, and they hope that people ignore the school elections, and so that's why they don't want it simultaneous with the regular elections as well. But yeah, the school elections, the city elections, they should be the same time as all the other elections, if you ask me.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. The House of Representatives recently approved a renewal of what's called FISA Section 702. It's a spy program which allows the intelligence services to pick up communications of foreign nationals. But sometimes Americans are swept up in the intercepts, undercutting their Fourth Amendment rights against unlawful searches and seizures. The House overwhelmingly approved the bill, but the vote wasn't yet quite complete. At the end of nearly every roll call vote, you hear the language where there is a motion to reconsider, and then a motion to lay on the table. The motion to reconsider is essentially a revote of the vote that was just taken, but the House can terminate the possibility of a revote on the issue by tabling or killing that motion. That's usually done without a roll call vote. But conservatives opposed to renewing FISA objected. That slowed down the House from sending the bill to the Senate to sync up, and the House had to vote again on Monday to finalize the vote. FISA opponents wanted to block the vote from becoming final to buy time to argue against the bill. They don't like the fact that the legislation lacked warrant protections. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. We'll see some clouds in portions of the area early today. Otherwise, looking at sunny skies developing with highs ranging from around 40 in Bozeman to the mid-40s in the Billings area. For tonight, we can expect clear skies with low temperatures in the upper teens in Bozeman to the mid-20s in Billings. And then for Saturday, with sunshine, high temperatures will stay up around the lower 50s across the region. This is weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Doozy after doozy after doozy. I've got a whole list here. In just a few brief stops, Joe Biden falsely claimed twice that his uncle Bozy was eaten alive by cannibals in New Guinea. He instructed Israel not to bomb their own city. He asked if Americans were ready to choose freedom over democracy. Anyway, the list goes on and on and on here. But George Blackard here, Freedom Friday. We got a couple of messages that came in on the Montana Talks app. Tim and Savage says, is Brandon trying to celebrate Freedom Friday when he asked if we were ready to choose freedom over democracy? If so, I'm not sure he gets Freedom Friday. Yeah, choosing freedom over democracy. That's actually kind of a nice Freudian slip, because really, freedom is more important than democracy. Democracy can be used to trample on freedom, which is why we live in a constitutional republic, right?
Exactly. I'm glad you brought that up, Aaron. That's a good point. You know, if the government is put ahead of the people, which ours seems to be these days, that's a recipe for disaster. And that's it's kind of an interesting topic that you bring up.
Yeah, let's see. Another message came in. I don't know if you heard about this story or saw this story that I mentioned in the 6 o'clock hour. Wolves devoured an elk on the Gardner School football field. So at the Gardner High School football field, the wolves just devoured this elk right there on the high school football field. And so I was talking about how this is symbolic of just the brazen attacks right in front of our face that are being committed by illegal aliens, the brazen way politicians like John Tester are, you know, dismissing impeachment charges against Mayorkas, allowing this border invasion to take place. But Evan and Belt says, it isn't the wolves devouring everything in the liberals' paths. According to Biden, it's the cannibals. So that was the message from Evan and Bill.
He's always got a good take on things. I like that.
Yeah, well, what are some stories you want to talk about this
morning?
Well,
you know, there's a couple out there. One that I found really interesting, and this is kind of a tribute type of thing. So let me just start by saying the last Medal of Honor recipient that served in the Korean War has passed away. And he is getting a special honor that very, very few people besides politicians are allowed to have. He will lie in state at the Capitol Rotunda in Washington, D.C. And so this is Colonel Ralph Puckett. He was an Army Ranger during Korea. He was given this or afforded this opportunity to lie in state. Only six people, according to military.com, this story that I read, only six people that were not politicians have been allowed to lie in state at the Capitol Rotunda. So we all know politicians think a lot of themselves. And they get that opportunity, you know, presidents and senators and things. But this Colonel Ralph Puckett, he received the Medal of Honor, but he didn't receive the Medal of Honor until 2021, almost 70 years after what he did. He earned, the Distinguished Service Cross. That's what it was, is what he was first given. They were under attack by the Chinese. He continually exposed himself to enemy fire, drawing the fire away from his men. So he was trying to help his men retreat, fall back, I should say. And he continually put himself out there. He got shot multiple times. Finally, he told his men to just leave him there. You just leave me here, get out of here. But they fought their way to him, like Army Rangers would do, fought their way to him and saved him and pulled him back. But because of those actions, he received that medal and later was upgraded to the Medal of Honor. So kind of a neat story.
It is. Well, and I saw that there's some Montana school kids, and the Stock Growers are back in Washington, D.C. right now. Is he laying in state today, or when's that going to be?
I didn't see when.
Because how cool would that be if you're one of these Montana school kids that are back there and you're passing through the Capitol, and then you get to see that moment.
April 29th.
That would be incredible. Okay, April, so about 10 days from now. All right, let's see. We got about a minute or so before our next break, and a caller on the phone lines. Tom in Billings, what did you want to share?
Hey, good morning, Aaron. Thank you for everything you do. You're kind of like our Montana Rush Limbaugh.
Well, you're too kind. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm concerned about Senate Bill 442. I'm not sure why the governor, I read the bill, I'm not sure why the governor vetoed that bill. I don't see any earmarks that are for anything, but, you know, they're talking about using funds from legalized marijuana to create mental health and
all sorts of stuff. Yeah,
you know,
roads in particular.
Centers.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, I don't see why that was vetoed. I mean, I love Greg. Don't get me wrong.
I understand. I understand he wanted the money to go to law enforcement instead.
Well, yeah. I mean,
go ahead. We're almost hitting the break. Yeah. What else did you want to share?
I just want to let you know I'm going to the NRA banquet in Glendive, but starting today and tomorrow is Livingston's first ever Pride Fest, and they're doing Drag Queen Story Hour today in Livingston, Montana.
Are you making the trip? Are you? You got your got your high heels?
No, I'm going to Glendive.
Where's the kids? Where's the kids? I'm here. Oh, man, what a bunch of wackos, huh? Thanks for the call.
Brett Bear Minute.
House Speaker Mike Johnson has decided to move forward four spending bills, one on Israel, one on Ukraine, one on Taiwan, and another one that includes a possible ban or restriction on TikTok. That is not going over well in the caucus, to the point where another member, Congressman Massey, has said, I'm going to join Marjorie Taylor Greene and say Mike Johnson should no longer be speaker. Fox News Radio political analyst Josh Krasauer.
This is going to be a real test of the Republican Party and whether they can come together and govern. That's one of the big tests for the party heading into an election year. I thought the meeting that, or the event that Johnson had with Trump was actually an encouraging sign that that there could be sort of a unification. And even though there were disagreements between Trump and Johnson on some of these issues, that the party could come together.
I'm Brett Baer. We'll see you next time.
The Washington Post gets busted after their fake news hit piece, and Navy SEAL veteran and GOP Senate candidate Tim Sheehy responds. Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. We've got that story on our Montana Talks website. Plus, drug cartel destruction from the Silicon Valley to Montana's Native American reservations. That full story, plus the podcast video with John Norris and Andy Stump, and our chat on Montana Talks. MontanaTalks.com.
This is where Montana Talks at with Lane Nordland.
Yesterday, the Bureau of Land Management released their final conservation and landscape health rule that re-images the agency's requirements to manage lands for multiple use, including livestock grazing. I'm on assignment in Washington, D.C., and Caitlin Glover, Executive Director of the Public Lands Council, shared her organization's disappointment in the announcement.
We just finished up this week our legislative conference here in Washington, D.C., and so we had ample time to talk about a lot of these cattle and sheep producers' priorities. So when the final rule dropped yesterday, this public lands rule, formerly known as the Conservation and Landscape Health Rule, we were really prepared to really dig in, have those conversations with the BLM in real time, and that's going to continue to be ongoing. There are three different parts to this rule that we reevaluated when the proposed rule came out last year. You know, we're encouraged by certain pieces. It appears that the agency has evaluated some of the feedback that we gave them, but we have some remaining concerns. And so as we look to the next couple days, we're going to be looking at this pretty voluminous text, because when you're talking about land health and land management in the West, you're talking about direct effects, not only for cattle producers and sheep producers, but rural economies, rural communities, and really that Western way of life.
The Public Lands Council says this is a move by extremists who only want to bully livestock producers off of working landscapes. I'm Lee Northland.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, Freedom Friday here. Our good friend George Blackard in the house here every Friday. Always good to see you, George. I don't know if you heard this on the drive into the studio here this morning, but you know, one of the big stories this week was Liberal Senator John Tester voting to immediately dismiss impeachment charges against Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. Just completely, immediately dismissed these charges, refusing to do his constitutional duty by at least hearing the evidence and going through the process. But it, to me, it's just shows how brazen he is right now.
Well,
because he knows he's not going to be held accountable by most in the Montana media.
That's right. None of the media here is going to do it. But, you know, it just proves that he's just a party guy. That's all he is. He doesn't represent Montanans. He represents the Democrat Party. He says he's tough on the border, but he's not, because if he were, he would want to see how that played out and see, you know, what the details are and that. But, you know, he's a wolf in sheep's clothing, and he doesn't care about Montanans. He cares about lining his pockets, and that's it.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, when I think of a Navy SEAL, I think of these guys can go underwater, right? Like maybe they sneak out of a submarine offshore, and they're in their scuba gear, whatever, you know, scuba Steven it up to the beach, and then they just pop up, you know, with their rifles and start walking up on the beach. You know, very, very sneaky guys, right?
Oh, yeah.
Tim Sheehy was on Fox News yesterday. He said John Tester's sneakier than a SEAL.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's sneakier than Navy SEAL. He disappeared out of that chamber yesterday, you know, faster than I could have. It's pretty impressive. But you're absolutely right. This is the game that him and Chuck Schumer and Harry Reid before him have played for years here in Montana, which is brand John Tester is a common sense, center of the road, barely Democrat who's basically a Republican. And the reality is he's very progressive, and his voting record shows that. D with the NRA, you know, 100% Planned Parenthood, and always in lockstep now with Joe Biden and Chuck Schumer. And this vote, Montanans want border security. They voted for Trump in 2016 by 20 points. They want a secure border. They want safe streets. They want cheap gas. And these are things John Tester works every day to undermine. And this vote, once again, reinforces that.
Yeah, apparently John Tester was on the Senate floor. And the moment he heard that the impeachment managers were coming over at the charges, he got the heck out of Dodge. But I just had to laugh because, you know, John Tester's a big boy. But boy, can he move!
Yeah, he can.
When he needs to.
We saw him going down the stairs that time.
Oh yeah.
Remember
And so that was funny when Tim Sheehy's like, "Man, he's faster than me." You know, you could be the fittest Navy SEAL out there, but John Tester finally having to face tough questions, faster than all of you.
Yeah. Well, I hope that everybody's paying attention to this, and you know, if he votes or if somebody votes for John Tester now, then they're voting strictly to support the Democrat Party and Joe Biden. That has nothing to do with Montana, because John's not doing anything for Montanans, and that's a fact.
That's right. You know, this is gonna be kind of cool. I didn't realize that Wyoming Congresswoman Harriet Hageman was one of the impeachment managers. So she was one of the impeachment managers for this Mayorkas impeachment. So anyway, she is fired up at this phony liberal Senator John Tester. She actually wants to call in and be on our show later today to talk about it. So we're going to get a phone call from Congresswoman Harriet Hageman. She's the one who kicked Liz Cheney to the curb. And so just like we kicked Liz Cheney to the curb in Wyoming, we're going to kick John Tester to the curb here in Montana once and for all. I become more confident of that now every day.
Did you listen to any of those questions they posed to Mayorkas there? I mean, he wouldn't answer questions. They kept asking him, you know, is the border secure? You said it's secure. And he wouldn't answer the question. And he did. He came straight out and said, our border is secure. He didn't say it's kind of secure, or he didn't say what he eventually said was, well, it's as secure as it can be right now. Well,
just straight up lied to the American people.
Oh, yeah. And he wouldn't answer any questions.
We got about a minute here before the Fox News update. Nancy in Roundup, did you have something you wanted to share real quick?
Oh, yeah, Freedom Friday. Of course, the American Revolution began today in 1775, and we sure could use General George Washington and the Minutemen to help us out today. But I wanted to talk about the FBI Director Christopher Wray's warning yesterday, April the 18th, on our national security and intelligence experts. And they said, as well as students, that the risk of government and the China poses to the U.S. national and economic security are upon us now. And that U.S. critical infrastructure is a prime target. Well, that's good, Christopher, but the border is still wide open. And I just want to talk about the state of Maine. The stupid governor there, who is a liberal, can't understand why the Chinese nationals have so many marijuana farms there. It's simple because of their lack of law and order, and that Maine is an underpopulated state like Montana. And so far, the Chinese have shipped about over $4 billion in marijuana sales back to the Chinese government.
Yeah.
And the Chinese government
illicit
is
marijuana.
Rich.
Yeah, illicit marijuana, and they're destroying the environment. That was exactly what we talked about with John Norris earlier in the week. We'll get to this FBI report after this. Nancy, thanks for the call.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Course back in session for former President Trump's criminal trial in New York.
New York is going down as a very corrupt place to do business.
Trump heading into court this morning. 12 jurors and one alternate are seated so far.
This morning they hope to get this finished to pick the final five alternates in this trial in order to kick off the opening statements on Monday. The alternates, of course, are used during the trial in case one of the regular jurors drops out for some reason.
Fox's Eric Schon in New York. Secretary of State Antony Blinken says the U.S. was not involved in an Israeli military strike inside Iran, a limited strike targeting an air base, retaliation for Iran's drone and missile strike last weekend.
The G7 condemned the unprecedented Iranian attack on Israel, unprecedented in scope and scale.
Secretary Blinken on a meeting of G7 allies in Italy, saying the alliance is committed to de-escalation in the region. America's listening to Fox News.
Okay, George, before we get to this FBI warning about China, I saw that story earlier this morning. In fact, I've got a Fox News Radio report that I can share here, and because what Nancy said was spot on. But first, give your reaction to the news report we just heard about the Biden administration. The big news story, of course, is that Iran just got hit overnight.
Yeah,
Iran got hit.
Iran? Yeah.
Oh, I forgot. Iran.
Iran. That's
Iran.
Right.
So, got to say it like Hussein Obama. Yeah.
So they, you know, what's interesting is, Biden, the administration, tells Israel not to do anything, basically. And then when they get attacked by 400-some drones and missiles, they fight those off. And Biden tells them, don't do anything. Don't react to that. And then when they finally do react in a small, targeted, calculated way, the administration's all mad at him and everything. And the Biden administration is trying to walk a tightrope or walk the fence. They're not getting on one side or the other. They won't support one side or the other. They keep telling Israel that they're behind them, but then their actions are completely opposite of that.
And they undermine them. Yeah, they're just fanning the flames on both sides is really all they're doing. They claim that they're trying to simmer down tensions. But no, it's like all you're doing by appeasing these Tehran terrorists is just continuing to fan the flames over there. Congressman Michael Waltz, he's a first Green Beret to serve in Congress, Florida congressman. He had some great remarks on Fox and Friends earlier this morning.
Well, the strike from Israel to Iran was clearly meant to send a message. Israel to Iran, you can't hit us. You failed. We can hit you. And not only can we hit you, we can hit your crown jewels, your most sensitive sites in Isfahan, which is home of their nuclear research and enrichment. And we can get through your most sophisticated air defenses. You can't stop us. That was the message Israel just sent to Iran. More broadly, look, at what point does Biden just sit down with his team and admit our Middle East policy has completely failed? And we've gone from the Abraham Accords to open warfare between Israel and Iran. And every time they say de-escalate, every time they try to pull back, our enemies push farther forward.
That's the point you just made right there, George. Yeah, well said. How about Israel, though, showing they can kick them right in the crown jewels?
Oh, yeah, I know. I love the way you said that. Well, that's interesting, too, that he brought that up. Because so Iran, the evil people running that country are not smart enough to see what they were just shown and told is, you know, you can't hurt us, but we can hurt you. They don't care. They're not smart enough. But the thing people need to remember, I think, is your average person in Iran, they don't want that government. They don't want those people. They want to have what we have like they used to have in the 70s.
Well, exactly, yeah. Yeah, but no, Israel just proved they can reach right up those man jams and grab them by the you-know-what, show them who's boss. So keep messing around over there. Keep messing around over there. That's right. A bad visual. We'll take a break.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana. Montana is talking here. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Blame Canada. Hey, this is great, George. We got a caller calling in all the way from Canada here. This is going to be cool. We'll get to that phone call here in just a second. But back to this whole Iran story real quick here. And then remind me, we do need to talk about the FBI China report that Nancy brought up. But, you know, you and I were talking about this during the break here. Where is this story from? I think it was a Jerusalem Post. Yeah, Jerusalem Post piece. Sexual assault and brutal beatings. Iran renews their violent hijab crackdown. Videos from Iran showing women struggling as morality police officers tried to shove them into vans in widespread arrest. So basically what these terrorists in Tehran do is if the morality police don't think that women are wearing their head coverings correctly, they will kidnap them off the streets. They will sexually assault them. They will imprison them. Mm-hmm. And yet look at these idiot woke college students standing up for Iran. Yeah. Protesting against Israel.
Well,
they're idiots.
Liberals don't have to make sense. You know, Aaron, these are the same people that will throw gays off the roofs of buildings. You know, you just mentioned something. They'll sexually assault a woman. Then they'll blame her for it. And then they'll stone her to death. They still stone people to death there. And if nobody knows what that is, they dig a hole. They put them in it so that they're just basically their head and the top of their shoulders is showing. And then people stand around and throw rocks at them until they're dead. So it doesn't make any sense that these supposedly educated people in our colleges would support this, but they do.
Yeah. And you made it, you know, what kind of prompted this conversation off air was you were talking about how, you know, back in like the 70s, Iran was like a normal, you know, Western looking country. Women could dress normal and go to college campuses like normal. And
yeah, do yourselves a favor. Just do a web search for Iran in the 70s and you'll see that it looked a lot like the United States. They were enjoying a lot of freedoms, the Western world and everything that we had, until these rulers came in and took it over and changed it. And now it's a crap hole third world country.
And you know what Dr. Mehrdad Kia would tell you, by the way, which ties in with these woke college protesters, is that it was the young people who led that revolution that allowed the terrorists to take over. And then the young people were like, wait, this isn't what we wanted. Well, it's what you got.
right?
Good job. Mm-hmm. Good job. That's these college kids here, the same type of idiots.
Oh, we'd be a communist country if we left it up to the vocal college kids in this country.
We'd be one. We're down that path.
I'm telling you, yeah. And because they don't understand what they're doing.
No.
They just jump on the bandwagon of the latest, loudest thing, and that's what they do. And unfortunately, they can bring about change that they don't want.
That's right. All right. Hey, this is great. Shane Montalban from Canada calling in. Shane, great to hear from you.
Hello. This is All-American Aaron. Wow. Great to hear your voice, Aaron.
Hey, happy Freedom Friday to you. There's still some freedom lovers in Canada.
Yes, there are, sir. Some simple solutions to Iran. It's a commodity-based country. 90% of the oil they sell to China, who's in a depression. And they have two striking points. They're completely exposed. Karg Island, it's in the Persian Gulf. It's the terminal that they ship all their oil from. A few couple of bombs, and they're knocked back into the 7th century. Number two, one of those, Israel needs to borrow a Moab, mother of all bombs, from the U.S. to drop on Qum. That's where all the Ayatollah and his gang live, and you get rid of those guys, and the Iranian people will have a chance to have their country back. You know, 80% of the people in Iran today were born after the Shah, which you were talking about back in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
So they've only known life under the mullahs, and they don't like it. So there you go, folks. Iran is not going to push the button will fall hard on them.
That's right. Well, and what Congressman Walz pointed out is that Israel just proved, apparently overnight, that they can strike anywhere they want to, including directly on the crown jewels, and Iran won't even know where it came from and that it's coming.
That's right.
So that's powerful.
Yep. Simple solutions, common sense, military solutions always win the day.
All right. Shane, great to hear from you.
Great to hear you, Aaron. Thank you for taking my call. Be happy to be safe, my friend.
Hey, you too. Yeah, call in more often. That was great to hear from you. 406-294-0970, the number for you. If you got something you want to chat about here on this Freedom Friday as well, as George Blacker joins us here every Friday. All right, George, here is the Fox News radio report that Nancy in Roundup was referring to. The FBI director issuing a chilling warning, according to Fox News Radio, about China and future cyber attacks against the U.S.
Chinese government-linked hackers have burrowed into U.S. critical infrastructure like water, energy, and telecommunications. That from FBI Director Christopher Wray during an appearance at the Vanderbilt Summit on Modern Conflict and Emerging Threats. He said hackers have been preparing
with the goal of giving the Chinese government the ability to wait for just the right moment to deal a devastating blow.
He warned the Chinese government is planning to land low blows against civil infrastructure to try to induce panic.
All right. But, George, look at how, Joe Biden and John Tester continue to do everything the Chinese want them to do.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. And here's the thing. Everything he's saying, we already know this stuff. We already know this.
Yeah.
So all he's doing is trying to set it up so when something does happen, he can say, I told you so.
Yeah, exactly.
See, I knew that was going to happen. You know, what I'm more interested in is what are they doing to combat this? Have they decided to start doing what the FBI should do rather than be the law enforcement arm of the Democrat Party? So what are you doing, Christopher Wray, to keep us safe from this?
Well, yeah, and why aren't you speaking out about the fact that 25,000-plus Chinese nationals have come across our southern border thanks to Joe Biden and John Tester's open borders policies? Why don't you go up there and call them out?
He's not going to call them out. He's not going to because he's on their side. And you're right. If he was truly doing his job and not worried about what party and who likes him and who doesn't, then he would be calling that out, and he'd say, look, we have a problem here. He'd be on national TV every opportunity you had saying it.
Exactly. Gary in Billings, did you have a quick question or comment? Thanks for the call.
Yeah, thank you, Aaron and George. I read this article by the Business Sheets at Rag about Tim Xi shooting himself in the practicing in the park, and I analyzed that article to think, why would a Navy SEAL be practicing drawing a gun and shooting himself when he's been in the war. I mean, it's just such ludicrous that what appears in that building is that. So people read that and they believe that's true. So it's guys like you and George that bring us the truth, and just makes you angry.
Yeah, I think fewer people believe the Billings Gazette the more that they see. I feel like, is it the gig is up, the jig is up? I just feel like people are sick of their Adam Schiff. There's a reason their building is practically empty right now, and it's because of garbage like this. George, the Democrats want us to believe that you can shoot yourself in the arm with a Colt 45 and still have an arm left, and that the bullet will get lodged in your arm. And that he wasn't shot in Afghanistan. He shot himself with a Colt 45 in Glacier. Your arm would be practically gone if that happened. But yet they believe this stuff because, A, they don't know anything about guns, and B, they will believe anything to defend John Tester.
Yeah, and they'll say anything to defend John Tester, whether it's true or not. That's the other thing. And, John Tester should be speaking out against these ads, some of these things, but he won't because he's insulated himself. He can say, well, I didn't run that ad. A PAC ran it. I had nothing to do with it.
Yeah. But
that's how they get away with it.
But if he actually cared about veterans, he would stand up for veterans regardless of political party. But you've been politically targeted by John Tester and his cronies.
Yep.
Before, you weren't even that politically outspoken.
Yeah,
you were just questioning the VA, and they targeted you.
Yep.
The guy's a scumbag. He's an absolute – and I always try to be nice, and if anything, I'm too nice to people on the other side. But enough being nice with John Tester. This guy is destroying this country. He's a scumbag. Sorry to say it bluntly, but at some point you just got to say it like it is, right?
I can't say it any better than that.
All right. Hey, coming up after the break, our buddy Ryan, our Marine Corps buddy, Ryan Parsons, he says, hey, guys, there's a new company that's about to get up and running out in Columbus. I think you told me about this before.
Yeah,
George.
A while back, yeah.
Have you heard of Mead?
Yeah.
So Mead is, what is it, like a honey wine, something like that?
Yeah, something like that. I don't know a whole lot about it.
I went to a meadery in Bozeman a few years ago. We had a bunker lab veterans get together. It's kind of cool. Apparently it's like a Norwegian honey wine. I can't remember exactly, but we got just the guy who can tell us what exactly Mead is because, they're opening up the Bearded Viking Mead Company in Columbus, Montana, and fellow veterans, as I understand it. So they're a special Freedom Friday guest here coming up after
All
this
right.
with us. All right. Stand by. We'll jump right into it after this.
This episode is brought to you by Xfinity Mobile. Save money the easy way. Learn how new Xfinity Mobile customers can buy one unlimited line and get one free for a year now through June 21st. That's like $20 a month per unlimited line. Visit XfinityMobile.com today to learn more. Offer ends June 21st. Restrictions apply. Existing Xfinity internet service and two unlimited lines required. Reduce speeds after 30 gigabytes of usage per line. Data thresholds vary.
Fox News commentary.
In her very own deplorables moment, Katie Couric takes a swipe at anti-intellectual mega supporters. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
I'm Dana Perino. Join me for my podcast, Perino on Politics. Every Monday, I'm going to talk to people I trust in politics as they tell me what they're seeing and thinking in the 2024 election cycle. This week, I'm joined by the host of The Big Money Show, Brian Brenberg, to talk taxes, inflation, and the state of the American economy and what it means for 2024. Available now on Apple, Spotify, and FoxNewsPodcast.com.
In case you need more evidence that mainstream media journalists suffer from serious bias and obvious Trump derangement syndrome, let me give you another example. While appearing on Bill Maher's Club Random podcast, Katie Couric had the audacity to slam Trump supporters, calling our movement anti-intellectual. Weird, Katie. It's not we, the anti-intellectual mega supporters, begging to have our $100,000 student loans accrued for worthless degrees forgiven. It's not we, the anti-intellectual mega supporters, who march with Queers for Palestine banners, Katie. And Katie, if not voting for the guy who is destroying our nation, cannot complete a sentence, or use the big boy stares, makes us anti-intellectual rednecks, well, then I guess call me a hillbilly and sign me up. Katie Couric does not understand mega, and she never will. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless at Outkick.com.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Here's my list of things we've all gotten used to over the last 25 years that look to be different in the next quarter century. Low inflation and very low interest rates. Not an easy prediction, but forces like globalization that gave us the great moderation in prices look to be spent. Unlimited federal deficit spending. Politics won't kill ever-growing deficits, but financial markets and interest payments might. Limited growth in electricity demand. There's been close to zero increase in electricity demand since 2000, but electric vehicles, data centers, and heat pumps are changing that. Surplus workers. Labor markets will loosen somewhat in the coming years, but trends in demographics are reducing the size of the traditional working population, just as the bulge in retirees is demanding ever more personal services that require labor. America's military deterrent. Our country's ability to deter others from mischief was never perfect, but looks to be vanishing today. I'm Patrick Barkey.
174 or go to allies tax relief.com.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Springs Spas, the hot tub company that your friends recommend. Studio. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
George, I'm sure there's at least one veteran out there who's thinking, yeah, I've never had mead before, but I've drank about everything else, so might as well add that one to the list.
Let's go to Columbus.
Was that you telling me you were in, like, South America, had something crazy?
Oh, yeah. Epioca.
Epioca, yeah. That's
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And that stuff will light you up.
Oh, man. Well, it's got to be better than the fermented horse milk of Central Asia.
Yeah, you can have that.
Oh, man. No, but actually, I've had mead before, and it actually tastes really good. We've got JT Robertson on the phone lines right now from Columbus with the Bearded Viking. JT, thanks for calling in.
Howdy, y'all. How you doing today?
Hey, doing great. Doing great. So, first off, tell us about your business.
Well, we're a small veteran-owned mead-making business based here in Columbus, Montana. Been about 2 years in the process of getting our buildings built and finalized, and now that we have that done, we've got all of our licenses in place, and we're looking to launch our grand opening on May 3rd.
That's right around the corner. Very cool. And then how do you describe mead and a meadery? I mean, I think of it as kind of like a winery, kind of like a distillery, but for mead, and it's like a Norwegian drink, right?
Well, actually, mead is the oldest form of alcohol in the world. Genghis Khan was actually drinking it, but it's most known for, from you see the show Vikings or things like that where they drink a lot of mead. So that's where kind of like the origins are. It's the oldest known alcohol demand, but the way I would describe mead is it's a unique drink. It drinks like a wine as far as like it's a sipper, versus, you know, a lot of people like to take shots and whatnot. Our mead sits between 14 and 16% ABV, so it's a little bit drier than most meads. Most meads are very, very sweet. Growing up in the Marine Corps, I learned how to drink, so I don't drink a lot of sweet stuff because I don't like hangovers.
That's right. Less sugar, the better.
Absolutely. So, but it's a nice sit around the campfire and hang out with your friends and have a meetup is what we've coined the term, drink where you bring people together and then get a chance to talk about, you know, things.
Yeah, very cool. Well, and George, I know you've done a lot of American Legion get-togethers out there in the Columbus area.
Oh, yeah.
So kind of sounds like another cool place to go visit on another adventure down the road.
One more reason to go to Columbus.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. How do you describe what your building looks like?
So our building actually looks kind of like a mix of a Quonset hut and a Viking log house. Kind of ironic, growing up in the military. Spent a lot of time in Quonset huts, sleeping in, you know, in cots out down 29 Palms, but now I have a building that's kind of shaped that way but has a very Viking feel to it. So
where's that?
I'd probably describe it as. So it's on 4595 Highway 78, right outside of the city of Columbus. You cross the bridge on your way to Bzorke, and as soon as, or Red Lodge, and as soon as you make the turn around the bend there, you'll see the building on the right around the north side of the freeway.
So you get off the interstate and then go through town and then across the river, and that's where you're at?
Yeah, just right across the river. You'll see there's a turnoff to make to turn left to Joliet, pass that, and then to your next right.
I want to have like a raft that we float the river on, and we come in and it looks like a Viking ship, and then and then we pull up in that. You know, I think that'd be great.
That would be awesome. Actually, I live upriver from the meter, and I'm hoping that one day I can purchase some riverfront property that attaches to the meter, so I can float a longboat to work. I think that'd be great.
Oh, that'd be awesome. That'd be really cool. We got to make that happen one of these days. Here, somebody might even donate the access agreement or something. All right. Well, the bearded Viking. I think our producer Travis is planning on making a trip, so he may write a little story about it as well. But JT, congrats on the launch coming up soon, and thanks for joining us here on Freedom Friday. George Blackard, great to see you as always.
Thanks, Aaron.
You got to go to work? You got to go to work?
I'm going to work.
I was going to say, you can stick around if you want. We'd love to have you, but you know, somebody's got to go pay for those illegal aliens.
That's right.
Well, the mystery has been solved. They found out who is destroying the toilets, the fancy toilets in Yellowstone National Park. Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. You never know what we're going to talk about on this show. Of course, then you have an elephant roaming the streets, a beaut. Who saw that one coming? Hey, you never know what's going to happen on Montana Talks, because Montana Talks is the show where you get to talk. We keep the phone lines open for you, and you can be heard all across Montana. Catch us statewide Monday through Friday, 9 to 10.